Joining us now on The Playbook with John and Myra, it is our good friend James Sharman from Sportsnet to talk a little bit more about the World Cup. Good morning, James. First of all, thanks for being here with us today.
Good morning. No problem at all.
We're on the heels now of Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, I guess more Ronaldo than anything, eliminating Morocco from the tournament. Is that a bit of a surprise to you, considering there were some that had pegged Morocco as a sleeper pick this year?
No, not really. Yeah. Listen, Morocco, they're, as they showed today, they're actually a very good team, and they were the better team today. I thought they were really unfortunate in the end. Portugal were very poor for much of that game, and if not for you-know-who, they could have lost that game. But, you know, Morocco is a team, like a few in this tournament, they're organized, they're well-coached, but they haven't got much in the way of goal scorers. They haven't really got that player who can finish off the chances they create, and we saw that again this time around. So, no real surprise. Tough week for Morocco, you know. They lose the bid for the 2026 World Cup, and then they crash out as a first team in Russia 2018. So, a rough week for them, but I don't think, you know, any team other than Portugal and Spain in this group progressing, I think, would be the surprise.
James, there's been a few upsets. Everyone's played at least one game now, and we're moving on to the second games. Mexico getting past Germany, Colombia losing to Japan. Do we read too much into these games, or, I mean, there's still a lot of soccer left to be played?
You know, it's funny. I remember the last World Cup when Spain struggled in the group phase, and we kept saying, oh, don't worry, they'll find their form, they'll be okay. And they didn't, and they went out in the group stage. So, you know, I'm wary as to say, you know, am I surprised by anything so far? But not really. I mean, Germany obviously is a surprising loss, but as you were saying before, Mexico were really good in that game, and they're an excellent team. And often you see that the defending champions start slowly in tournaments, but I think they'll find their way in the end. Brazil tying was a slight surprise as well, but those opening matches of tournaments, they're so tricky because there is tension. There is stress. You're playing lesser teams who have nothing to lose at all. So you do see these odd results early in tournaments. So it's nothing too much at this point to read into, I don't think. Obviously, in a few days' time, that might be very different. But you're right. In Germany, we're poor. They didn't look like the world champions. They didn't look like the team that we saw last year in the Confederations Cup. But I still have faith that they have the players to get this together.
We're talking with James Sharman, our Sportsnet soccer analyst here on Sportsnet 650. James, you mentioned Brazil and, you know, a little bit surprised for them to draw against Switzerland. Neymar is making headlines, possibly injured and criticized of being selfish. Do you see his play as being selfish or is there something wrong with him?
Oh, that there's much wrong with Neymar. Listen, he's great to watch, right? You know, he's one of those players, the few players who are really worth that the value of the ticket just to watch him play. But he's got a massive ego, and he wants the team to revolve around him, and that's why he left Barcelona for PSG a couple of years ago now. You know, he left this wonderful Barcelona team that was on the cusp of becoming a legendary Barcelona team with the best players in the world around him, but it wasn't enough for him because he wasn't the focal point. It was all Leo Messi. So he goes to PSG in France, where he is now the focal point, and he's scoring lots of goals. He's doing great, but it's a weak league, and it's a one-team league, essentially. So it's all about Neymar, not about the team. So this time around at the World Cup, we're seeing him out there, and Brazil weren't good in the first game, and he wanted the ball, and they were very slow in transition with him on the ball. Clearly he's not match fit, coming off that broken foot, and now he's got a sore ankle as well. He left training, of course, just yesterday, and boy, you know, he made sure the camera's running for that one to cause some more drama. So, you know, he's one of those players, he's too good, you can't drop the guy, and hopefully he finds his match fitness the next couple of games, but he is very frustrating because when you're that good, you'd like to see the players be a little more selfless, but he really is all about himself rather than the team.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed because I had Brazil pegged as the team that's going to win the whole thing, and it's just... You know, there's still time to recover. Obviously, Neymar plays a big role into that. But if we're talking about some of the best players on the planet, I think the conversation heading into this World Cup was Messi versus Ronaldo. And right now, you can't deny, is Ronaldo starting to pull away just based on the early performances here?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Is there a legitimate argument to be had? Who's the best? And right now, in this moment in time, it's tough to argue against Ronaldo, what he's done in the biggest games, be it Champions League finals or be it in the World Cup now for his country, whereas Messi's really got to have that defining match for his country. He hasn't really had it yet. He's had great games. And I even thought the last game, he actually looked pretty decent. He was the one guy who was a threat, really, up front for Argentina. But I understand why the pro-Ronaldo crowd are loving this at the moment. the fact that he's evolved his game into what he's become, he's no longer that player who beats you one-on-one mm-hmm. and has all the flair and all the tricks. He's a very, very much a central focus in the area. He's a fox in the box, they call it. And he's changed his game to become, you know, maybe the best in the world at that right now. And 85 goals for his country, that's the most for a European in any international era. It's quite incredible what he's done, and he's changed his game, whereas Messi's still playing the same style of football he always has. So maybe at some point we'll see Messi evolve into a different kind of player as he gets older. We'll see. Right now, Ronaldo's the easy pick, of course, but I'm always going to be a Messi guy. Simple as that. You know, you won't change my mind. But I'm enjoying them both. I think that's the main thing.
Right.
Just because, you know, I pick Messi or you pick Ronaldo doesn't mean we disrespect the other player. Of course, I love Ronaldo. He's wonderful. He's magnificent to watch. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to change my mind. I'm a Messi guy. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, James. I think the world of soccer needs more gentlemen like yourself. So I think that's the proper attitude to have going into this World Cup. Now, one team that's impressed, like genuinely impressed the socks right off of me, is Russia so far. And you know, I was a little bit coy heading into this tournament. I figured, you know, maybe there's something, but they're actually getting it done. And their goal differential is tops in the entire tournament. Is this just a case of them preying on some really flawed, weaker teams in their group, or is there something very special going on with this national team?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we thought Russia was one of those weaker groups, right, entering mm-hmm. this tournament. Had a terrible number of years, and even their fans and media were calling them the worst Russian team in history and the worst host nation in history. Now, they were drawn in a very weak group. There's no doubt about that, aside from Uruguay. But they played Saudi Arabia in the first game, and the Saudis right now against Uruguay, they're losing 1-0, look pretty good, but Russia made them look very, very bad. And then Egypt, who many people had as a dark horse team in this World Cup, were outplayed by Russia. It's amazing the power of the home field advantage, especially at a World Cup. It's very rare that the host nation doesn't do quite well. Only South Africa has not advanced in the group phase in the history of the World Cup as a host nation. So there's a lot to be said for the power of the home support. And Russia are playing really, really good football right now. They're attacking. They're looking good going forward. They're defending really well as well. So good credit to them. I'm very happy for them. But, you know, we should realize that they haven't yet played a top, top team. Far from it. I think the Saudis were actually overwhelmed. It's their first World Cup for some time. All their players play in Saudi Arabia, so they're not really used to those big, big moments on the world stage, so perhaps overwhelmed. And Egypt, without a healthy Mo Salah, just were not the same team that we thought they might be. So with respect to Russia, they're yet to be really tested. They will be against Uruguay next time out. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, congratulations. You know, they've done a really good job.
Well, like basically, they're going through with all their goals that they've in their first two games that they've won. It is quite shocking, James. I want to ask you, sometimes we hear about the shenanigans and things that happen in the stands of, you know, maybe sometimes there's hooliganism that takes place at football matches. Poland loses to Senegal, and then the Senegal fans clean up all the trash at the stadium that they were throwing, and the Japanese fans did the same. It's not too many times you see this. This video goes viral, and it's making headlines. What do you make of some of these fans that are just celebrating and then celebrating in style by then keeping a nice, tidy workspace?
Yeah, you know, I don't know where this began. I believe Japan was the first team to try it, their fans, and it's just wonderful because you're right. The haters out there always love the World Cup because they're waiting for the hooliganism. They're waiting for the fan issues and to jump all over it. Well, right now we're celebrating the celebration because they are doing it the right way. They're respecting their hosts. They're respecting these stadiums. And what great videos they are. So I hope it continues. I hope other fan groups catch on and we see this throughout the World Cup because so far it's been a really good-natured World Cup as far as I can see. Even on the field, less cynical fouls, a little less embellishment. Pepe aside this morning, Falcao aside yesterday. But generally speaking, it's been played in the right mood. It's got a good feeling to it right now. And there was a lot of concern about Russia hosting this World Cup. They've got a pretty questionable track record in many regards, obviously, on and off the field. But so far, it's been played well, and it's great to see. So let's hope that these other fan groups around the world see this, because the images we're seeing from the stands are fantastic, aren't they? That we're seeing these groups of these colorful fans in their all their pomp mm-hmm. and colors, and they're cheering and chanting and singing right beside their opponents' fans. It's brilliant to watch. It really is. Mm-hmm.
Sportsnet 650.